Good evening. Welcome to Employment Law Today. I'm your host,
Eric Sauber. I'm an employment law and business law attorney at the law office of Eric M. Sauber. And I do this show weekly, Tuesday nights at 5 p.m., where I have guests on who help to discuss issues that impact business owners in all industries, especially now as they're navigating the complex employment and labor law issues that we're all facing in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. And I am joined tonight by my guest, Rick Maher. Rick is the CEO, founder, and visionary behind Turning Point HCM, that's Turning Point Human Capital Management. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to having a great discussion over this next hour.
Sure thing. Well, and our topic tonight, as I mentioned for our audience, is COVID workplace transitions. Right, we're talking about workplace adaptation from an HR perspective. And I just want to introduce you, Rick, before we go into the topic here. As Rick Maher, as I mentioned, CEO, founder of Turning Point HCM, Rick basically is a fractional human resource consulting firm that is focused on solving the problems that keep business owners awake at night. And those problems, those HR problems, usually fall into four categories. And they include compliance issues, employee challenges, policy and procedure headaches, and strategic aligning of human capital for maximum performance. Turning Point HCM's mission is to release the pressure valve that builds in business owners whenever legal or day-to-day HR issues pop up. And Rick's company creates a customized solution for each client's objectives while focusing on price, service, and doing what is best for their client. So it makes sense for the business and helps the owner to put HR issues in their rearview mirror. Their clientele includes first and second generation family-owned businesses, often that have between 5 and 500 employees, and between 1 million and 75 million in revenue. So Rick, it's great to have you on the show. Really glad you can be here.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks. My goal and my intention throughout this time that we're speaking is to, you know, really educate, enlighten, and inspire your audience as they decide how, if, and when they're going to return to the office and dealing with COVID-specific issues.
That's great, Rick. Educating, inspiring, it's all part of what I hope to accomplish with this podcast. It's also part of these stations, educate, uplift, and motivate. So that's really nice that your goals align with mine and that of Talk Radio NYC. So let me just discuss briefly the topic that we're talking about at hand here, the COVID-19 workplace transition, the big picture view. Uh-huh. So, you know, I was thinking about this, and you and I spoke a bit before the show, and, you know, we all think back to a year ago, March of 2020, when this COVID-19 pandemic forced businesses to radically alter their workplace. And from everything from restructuring the chain of command to going virtual to changes in how employees work and interact with one another and with management. And as you may recall, Rick, as I do from my clients back then, much of this was about survival mode, right? Just focused on businesses keeping their lights on and learning the new technology and the new ways to function. But now, more than a year later, what I found too is as businesses prepare for their employees, in many cases, returning in person to the workplace or into a hybrid, perhaps, work environment, the question becomes, what new employee relations challenges might arise? And are there COVID-19-related, now cultural and behavioral changes brought about after more than 1 year of basically this, right, doing the Zoom thing and WebEx and Teams online for 13 months? And if so, how do business owners address these changes? What communication should a company send to its returning workers as related to COVID-19 protocols? These are just some of the questions that Rick and I discussed and we'll be discussing tonight for you, our audience, to listen and hopefully to take away some good, valuable tips from. So, Rick, if I may turn to you with a first question. Mm-hmm. Can you tell our listeners a bit more about yourself? Like, what prompted you to found Turning Point Human Capital Management?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question and great jumping off point. So, you know, you and I have discussed in the past. So I too was, you know, 11 years ago doing the train thing to New York City and, you know, spending half my life doing that. And I was a national practice leader for private equity and large law firms nationally for a Goldman Sachs Capital Partners owned company called USI at that point in time. And, you know, I had children that were, you know, in their, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old and wanted to be a part of their life every day and didn't want to spend my time on the train. And then there was this event around that time that really, you know, in hindsight, has shaped really almost everything that we've built and everything that we do as we stand today. And that event was the, you know, the great economic collapse, the great recession of, you know, call it 2008 through 2012 time period. That's when I started the business. And, you know, it was a time where I saw a problem that was arising from that shock. And that shock was, as businesses were struggling at that point in time for different reasons, typically their first people that they were letting go because they were non-revenue generating was their HR team. Or secondarily, the last people they were letting go were their HR team, as in, you know, lay everyone off, close the lights, thanks for coming, have a great day kind of a thing. So there was this tremendous turmoil at that period of time in larger businesses, but more specifically where I was focusing on that point in time, kind of those businesses that you described, first or second generation family businesses with a handful to a couple hundred employees. You know, those businesses who were my clients at that point in time, they all had these problems, these things that were keeping them awake at night. And I saw an opportunity at that point in time to combine some of this great talent in HR that was now sitting on the sidelines with businesses that had a real problem. They had to deal with their remaining employees, challenges, and all those sorts of things. But more importantly, deal with it in a way that was, you know, the right resource, the right price, and the right amount of time because things were tight. So, you know, that was really the genesis of our business, or the business that I started. And and from that period of time, we've grown to now we have 20 HR professionals on staff. We've worked with over 1,100 businesses in the past 11 years, and in 65 different industries. And all 48 contiguous United States. So I'll address that a little further of how COVID has actually enhanced, in certain instances, our business model and where we're going. But the business was born in a time of desperation, really, for many businesses. Mm-hmm. And now looking back on that, we're kind of in the similar time for many businesses and many clients. So it's sometimes it's a great comfort to draw upon those experiences of 8 or 9 years ago to apply them to today, where we're going, but also how we can help our clients.
Yeah. I mean, interesting things there. You know, I love hearing my guest stories about how they were motivated to found their company or their practice. And hearing one of the motivations that I resonates well with me, lands well with me, is the idea of wanting to spend more time with your family and your children. You know, I have a young son, he's 19 months old, almost 20 months, he's a youngin. But just with you on the commute, me, New Jersey Transit into the city. And so, and this is all interesting too, because I mean, you talk about something being born out of a very stressful, arguably tight time for many people, including mainly the recession in 2008, 9, and arguably 10 into 11. So it's really great to hear that you have that experience. And I imagine that some of that, perhaps the experience that you had then when you're helping your clients now, I would just imagine, maybe there's something we can talk about later, that must impact how you speak with your clients and what issues you can recognize and spot.
Absolutely. I mean, I think even, you know, to kind of start to transition into today's topic, when, you know, a year ago, we had built out, a couple of years ago, we had built out this beautiful office space, right? And the intention and the budget and the game plan was within 18 to 24 months to be buying or building our own building at that point in time, right? So, you know, just some let's call it silly things that serendipity that, you know, so we built an office that there was no paper on any of our desks, right? Mm-hmm. Everything was scanned, filed, electronic, because the purpose was that one day we were just going to unplug our computers and move to the next space with as minimal disruption mm-hmm. as possible. Mm-hmm. Well, we thought it was going to be going into a building. And really what it now has become is we've shut down that office. We've gone remote, right? Mm-hmm. We've embraced this model, this world that we're in, but it allows us now to service clients across the country because Zoom and this way of talking to clients has now become much more acceptable. So I think as mm-hmm. entrepreneurs, right, and dealing with our clients who are also in many cases entrepreneurs, the ability to find solutions where there seem to only be problems mm-hmm. is really what our job is, right? And quite frankly, it's why I changed part of my title to be CEO and visionary. Visionary mm-hmm. wasn't meant to mean I'm some genius who's developing some new business, but it was visionary in the sense to say, what's next? Good, bad, and indifferent. How do we plan for it? And then how do we share that same knowledge with our clients?
Right. Absolutely. I think it's a nice segue into talking about what's next. What's next in the pandemic? And I think in order to do that, it's helpful to take a little step away and look back at where we've been with this pandemic here. So it's a nice segue into the question of, what have you seen, Rick, as some of the biggest HR-related challenges posed to businesses now during the COVID-19 pandemic, I'll say to date, so when we started last March through present?
Yeah. I think there's been three or four distinct waves, right? And each of the waves to this point has had an underlying tone of patience, right? And I think that those patience, we're starting to see the fraying of those patients between employers and employees, coworkers, et cetera. And then ultimately, I think as we get back, or if people decide, are they going back to the office? I think there's going to be that patience is going to wear thin. Comments will be made. Things will be said. So let's call it the first 3 or 4 months, you know, from the middle of March into, let's call it the beginning of July of last year. I think it was more, everyone was just saying, how are we going to do this? How are we going to keep the lights on? How are we going to survive? How are we going to communicate? Right. And for many business owners, and this is their human capital management, the way that they managed was by seeing someone at their desk and equating that to them working hard, right, or doing the right things. So I think from a management perspective, as an entrepreneur's perspective, there was this big shift of how are you going to engage your workforce? How are you going to, you know, communicate with them? How are you going to keep the culture that you've built the same now that it's being ripped apart at its fabric, right? And then underneath that tone from, you know, March to July was, okay, in many instances before we had all these great green screens and things that we're seeing on our screen right now, there was laundry behind, there was, you know, pots and pans in the kitchen sink, kids running around, dogs barking, all that sort of stuff. So I think it was a very, you know, there was a very distinct time. Then I think as we settled in, in the summer months, let's call it July through, October-ish or late September, I think people settled in and started to understand where they're going, starting to change their model, who's embracing what aspect of it. And mm-hmm. I think that from that, you know, we started to hear the rumblings of when we go back to normal, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there was this big argument, esoteric argument between entrepreneurs and them and their own heads is, are we ever going back and do I want to, right? Mm-hmm. Or is there a way forward? So then, you know, I think then the third wave that we saw was, you know, call it the late fall through, let's call it election season and transition to new political leadership, which was, okay, what's going to happen now, right? And I think now we're in the fourth wave, which is, let's call it from the middle of January to where we stand today and a couple of months going forward, which is, okay, the seeds of quote unquote normalcy are starting to sprout, right? And maybe we are going back to the office. So now I need to think about A, do I want to? B, how do we do it? see what are the ramifications of it, right? And I think we're going to talk about that in a little bit later. But you know, then more importantly is, you know, there's, for lack of a better term, there's all this pent-up demand or this pent-up energy that people who haven't really spoken in a meaningful way, who were friends, let's call it coworkers, they're now going to be unleashed on each other with unvarnished opinions, with unvarnished comments. And what is that going to do to a business? In addition to, what are the steps that you should take as an organization, such as communicating the expectations, what's going to happen, dealing with, you know, should we vaccinate, should we not vaccinate, can we mandate it, all those sorts of things. So I think we're in stage four, and who knows, there might be 4 or 10 more after this, but I think we're in stage four from what I can see from when this started.
Rick, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back to those stages. I'm Eric Sarver, your host here tonight with Rick Maher from Turning Point HCM. So stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly 1 in 5 adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Inning. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening, The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sarver, here with my guest, Rick Maher from Training Point HCM. Rick, we covered a lot. I'd love to unpack a little bit of that, if I may, from before the break for those who might be joining us late, or just to recap before the commercial. We're talking about sort of breaking this up into four phases or stages, if you will, of how businesses have been impacted by the pandemic. And as you were talking about those phases, it made me think about, as an employment law attorney, what my clients were going through, and definitely it all tracked in terms of those early, let's say spring into early summer of 2020, a lot of this just figuring things out, you know, what's next, what's the next stage to keep people connected and technologically on track. I know my clients were all about how do we get the PPP loan and business small business loans, and how do we
figure out whom to furlough and not, and what CARES Act laws might apply to us. A lot of that going on. But then in those situations, I think a lot of those cultural issues in the workplace get sort of put on the shelf. And then you've got the summer months and people sensing there's some maybe changes afoot. We've gotten used to this new normal a little bit, but we know it's going to be over. I'm paraphrasing here a bit, if I may. And then I can recall, like in the fall, for sure, companies saying, you know, okay, well, now like what's next? And I could see there's a light at the end of the tunnel here. Perhaps we will be going back to quote unquote normal. But then in the last few months, as that becomes more of a clear picture and the EEOC had mandates or rather opinions around the vaccine mandate, what you can and can't do with your employees, a lot of companies ask that question. You're right. Do we want to go back to normal? And do we want to go back, or are we just entering into a new normal? And I think it's important to make the distinction between, you know, if you take a vacation for a month and then, or your leave of absence, should say, being sick, you go back to work. Let's say if this is all pre-COVID, you go back to where you were, you're back in your chair, you're back in your seat. It's like, oh, I remember this. Within a week, you're like back in the swing of things. But we're not necessarily going back to the way things were. We're going back to different regulations, different rules. We're going back to a different culture. So let me ask you about this sort of looking ahead. With workplaces transitioning from remote work to in-person employees again, I'm wondering, so what are some, you mentioned some specific related challenges, but employees face, can you talk about some of those in terms of like changes in social norms or cultural, political divides and intensifying, you know, things to that effect?
Yeah. So to start at a very high level, right? We could look at things, you know, that are going on. So you mentioned CARES Act and, you know, the FFCRA, the Family First Coronavirus Response Act, and the different things that are going on there. So I think at a very high level, governments and entities, you know, states, local governments, federal, are responding to the pandemic with new kind of laws, rules, regulations that are coming down the pike. And I think we're going to continue to see that evolve over time because we're kind of making this stuff up as we go along, right? And responding to the day's issues in many cases. So I think from an employer standpoint, when we left, there's always going to be those updates, those changes, those laws, those rules of regulations. But there's been a significant number of them since we left the office. And with the employees, right, and the employers having patience for each other, this is where we're starting to see, I think, as those rules change and as you mentioned, business leaders and leadership left, you know, some of the things they needed to do to focus on how to stay alive and stay open and all those sorts of things. So I think from that perspective, business owners are going to have to understand that even though coming back before we get to the COVID stuff and the social distancing and all those and the social changes in America in the past 12, 13 months, they have to understand that from a compliance standpoint, let's call it the handbook view of things, those changes are they're still coming rapidly and there's many that they need to probably catch up on and deal with. Then from the employee side, right? So you have now employees that some might say, I don't know that I want to come back. We've done it this well for this long. Why are we coming back? So I think that there needs to be, you know, a real strategy and a real plan around communicating to employees often and early. So for instance, you know, and it may come in phases or stages. So the first one might be just an overall letter, State of the Union kind of thing. We're coming back to the office. Here's why, right? Here's how we're going to do it. Not a full-blown detailed plan, but it should have kind of this is what and the what, the why, the how, that sort of stuff, the when. Then I think the next phase should be, you know, kind of policy updates, right? So here's going to be our policy around, are we mandating vaccinations? Are we, you know, are we rebuilding our office to function, you know, with, you know, social distancing? Or how are we going to deal with one employee that doesn't want to wear their PPE stuff or all those sorts of things? And those are company policies that should be drafted and sort of like an addendum to the handbook that are signed off by the employees with the understanding that these things are going to change, right? So for instance, there may be, so those things are going to want to be written out and with the understanding that they will change, because they will change, right? We're changing nearly every day. We went from 6 feet social distancing to 3 feet. It may go back, who the heck knows, but that's the path we're on. Then I think there's going to be kind of, let's call it the human part of coming back, right? Fears, right? Anxiety about all those things. But now also, if you think about it, when we go on Zoom meetings now, and we have this with our team, one of the difficulties is we don't have that water cooler where we can spend 5 or 10 minutes just talking about things, right? Having a conversation, right? Those happened every day in the office. Now you have this, how's your day? Good, son? Yep, good. Okay, good. It's 30 seconds and we're on to work. So I think that there's going to be this pent-up demand is the only term that I can come up with, and I know it's not a great phrase for it, but there's this pent-up demand for me to talk to my colleagues and vice versa and kind of give them my opinion on things, right? Now, if you think about this, maybe 12 months ago, you and I would have a conversation about, you know, what's our favorite color, and we both thought it was blue, right? But now this is a different time. I may still like blue and think that you do. So I talk about how great blue is and you say, what are you nuts? Red's great, right? Red's the best. And now this can cause friction. So if you think about all the things that have gone on in the past 13 months, you know, politics, social unrest, you know, are vaccines good? Are they not? All that stuff that we all read in the newspaper every day, that's going to create real challenges for businesses, how they handle it and how they handle employees that may be kind of, I don't want to call it tearing apart at the seams, but we're seeing it in global scale in the economy. We're seeing families kind of separate, you know, we're seeing it. So we should anticipate it. And just as proof of that, you know, we saw a couple of weeks ago, Coca-Cola and some other large organizations, are instituting, let's call it mandatory different sorts of trainings to be ahead of this wave of potential problems that are coming that could rip apart a business.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Rick. I agree with everything you're saying. I have seen it as well with my clients. And it's, we talked about the earlier part, the legal sort of the compliance, communicating that to people, getting the rules down pat, getting the handbook, the addendum, so people understand the how, what, when, and why. Because I think when people are anxious about something, the lack of information feeds their anxiety, right? If you're nervous about going back, it's understandable, who wouldn't be after, you know, 13 months working from home, let's say, and they're in their den or their bedroom, and suddenly they have to even just interact again. And it's so I think people have that anxiety laid on top of the, what is my job now? What does the workplace look like? Like what's going on? And so I agree with you that I think having those like handbooks in place, having the, knowing what the compliance issues are is key. And then you talked about the human aspect. So it's sort of like, it's connected to the legal, right? I mean, compliance, when it comes to employment law, as we know, our labor and employment is, and HR, it's how do companies comply with the law as it relates to humans and their interactions? Whether it's discrimination or harassment issues or even just workplace, you know, bullying or and then of course you have the issue of employee productivity. But I hear what you're saying about just like employers will have to deal with, if I hear it correctly, the sort of the human interactions that people are starving for conversations, some of which now might be much more laden with conflict or disagreement. You know, we've become much more polarized. I think we're already polarized as a nation before COVID, and now I think it's just gone like this, as you mentioned. I like the red and blue metaphor there, you know. So I hear you. And, you know, we're about up for a commercial break, but when we come back, we'd love to discuss this a bit more with you, hear your thoughts about, you know, how your company specifically addresses these very issues. So I'm Eric Sauver. I'm the host of Employment Law Today, Tuesday nights at 5 p.m. here with my guest, Rick Maher, the CEO, founder, and visionary behind Turning Point Human Capital Management. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauber, here with my guest tonight, Rick Marr. Rick, you covered some good topics before the break about what companies can expect, what issues come up around the transition back to work. We've got the compliance part with employee handbooks and all the laws and rules and regulations around COVID-19 protocol in the workplace. And we have the issues of, right, the, as you call it, the human aspect, the interactions of employee, you know, challenges or disputes, just relearning, essentially, I call it relearning workplace etiquette. I'm wondering, you know, what type of solutions do you have in mind for your clients around, let's say, for example, the human interaction challenge?
Yeah. So really, you know, there's really three things that we're focused on and have been focused on mm-hmm. the past several months and anticipate will become even more important as we get back to the office. So they all revolve around technology, which sounds crazy when you're talking about humans and human capital management, but it's truly important. So one of the things that we did in response to this, and we're rolling it out even more aggressively. So in the past 12 months, we've trained over 13,000 employees on our learning management system. So we offer 180 different courses to employers and to our clients, and it's very well received. And there's the natural ones that are mandated. So like in New York State, for example, we have mandated New York State sexual harassment training, and it has to meet certain guidelines and all that sort of stuff. So that was the original driver of this technology that we started a couple of years ago. So now this brings me back to when I said, as an entrepreneur, as a visionary, our job is to pull things from the past and say, how do they apply to the future, right? So this is, again, coming back. So in this learning management system that we've built, we've added courses like unconscious bias training, diversity, equality, inclusion, right? So those things that we're now talking about that have really kind of started to become part of mainstream vernacular over the past several months. So I think that the first thing is using that technology to train employees on these various topics. And I think from an employer's perspective, when they see that, you know, you can't do the old training where you get everyone in the break room, right? You bring in the coffee and the donuts, and that's not no longer here. So how do you train, in this case, 13,000 employees remotely? So there's a lot of, you know, tools that we use, and particularly it's around a learning management system. So that's been very well received, and it's really, I would call it cutting edge of keeping up with the times and the issues that we're dealing with. And as you read the news on the internet every day, these training courses are following that. And I mentioned Coca-Cola earlier, right? They really went after, you know, to be proactive in how they're, you know, training their employees on diversity, inclusion, and equality, right? That, issues, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The second technology, again, when we're talking about these things, just like the training part of it, it's not only legal and compliant, but it's really dealing with that pent-up demand as to how we bring these folks back into the office. And it's almost like, you know, it's spring break is going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be mayhem, right? So how do you get ahead of that? And in the communications, when you're bringing people back, explaining to them that training and, you know, opening our eyes to things that we may have never thought about in the past or thought about ourselves in the past and how we treat others, those things are truly important. The second technology that we've built, again, it was built a couple of years ago, but it's come to the forefront, is what we call a living handbook. So again, using technology, a handbook is, in many cases, it's written, it gets put in the desk, no one sees it, it collects dust, it's just there. It's a yes, we have it, check off.
Much to my chagrin, by the way, as an employee.
You and I could have a whole conversation on that separately, right? Mm-hmm. But what we're advising our clients is by using technology, our system that we built, it pulls in every time there's a federal or state law that your mm-hmm. company is located in, it pulls in that update to the system, alerts you that there's an alert, you could read it, see it, hit yes, and it automatically updates your handbook. So I think from, you know, that's the legal and compliance side, but from the employee side, you know, Cy Sims used to say, an educated consumer is my best customer, right? An educated employee is typically the best employee. So they're reading on the news that, you know, New Jersey is implementing some new law. Let's just talk about what's going on with marijuana and those laws, right? Those are now going to impact the workplace. Employees know this. The company's policies have to keep up with it, right? The owner or the leaders of that business, the HR teams have to understand where those things are and how they fit into this world. And it's just this constant cycle that's coming through that employers, you know, have to use.
Right.
And then kind of the third thing that's real practical is, you know, we discovered a problem, right? And this is really or a secret, if you will, and it almost reminds me of the Rubik's Cube, right?
Sure.
Most of us can only get one side. Some can get two, and then the others that have uncovered the secret can get all six sides, right? Or whatever it is, it's the six sides, right? So we discovered the secret that every system for a company runs on this that touches the employees runs on the same employee data, right? So name, address, date of birth, title, department, bank account, social security number, right? You name it. And most companies have several different systems, right? And there's this problem that, especially through these times, these past year, employers might have added systems because it seemed to make, but those systems are siloed, right? And they're not connecting and sharing the data. So think of things, we all know them, right? So your payroll, your benefits, your HR compliance, your handbooks, your training, the devices that you have, right? So now everyone has devices in their home. You may have given them new computers. You may have given them new phones. All these devices, and then all the third-party apps, right? So a lot of people added things like GroupMe and Slack and Teamwork and all these other things that are now in silos. They all have the same information, but they're disjointed. Mm. So what happens is that creates, from an HR perspective, mm-hmm. a lot of administrative work, right? Yes. And data that is not actionable, that the company needs to move forward,
mm-hmm.
right? So we found this problem, and what we started to do, again, using technology, A, from a compliance perspective for the business, but to make the employees' life easier, is how do you now take all of those things mm-hmm. and build them into one unit, a unified system, so that all those things that I mentioned are flowing through and all in one place. So for instance, you mentioned earlier when employees come back, they may be saying, what is my job, right? My mm-hmm. job has changed. I was the bookkeeper before, but now I'm the bookkeeper and the office manager, right? So mm-hmm. what do I need to do? So I think that as taking those technologies that every business has mm-hmm. and really looking at them from a unified approach, that Rubik's Cube puzzle solving, right? That's the only way to make the business run as smoothly as it could, mm-hmm. specifically as we come into this probably a hybrid approach where sure. some people are for some days, some people are out. So technology, whether it's the training,
mm-hmm.
the living handbook, or all of the different the unified system, if you will, they all are rooted in compliance issues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they're sold to the business as a way to be more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they're purchased, it makes them less efficient, mm-hmm. right? So how do you tie those things together? And then from the employee's perspective, when they can see a clear path mm-hmm. of what's happening and why, right? We talked about this a little earlier, that people, when they don't,
yeah.
that uncertainty creates anxiety, right? And these three things that embrace technology really solve the compliance, the answering questions of uncertainty, and making the business run smoother and more efficiently.
Right, right. And it's interesting too, Rick. I think, you know, that technology often when it's new or it's unfamiliar, people tend to balk at it. But once they get accustomed to it, they kind of wonder how they would live without it. And so it's good to hear that you're approaching a comprehensive issue like training, you know, human interaction, compliance, and just putting it all together with a technological solution. It's I think an important thing to note also just the fact that we, as you mentioned, we can't do things, at least not right now, the way we were pre-COVID. So we do need trainings, but we all know the trainings from everybody gathered into a conference room, as you pointed out, and coffee and donuts, and now that's not necessarily a safe alternative without everyone being vaccinated. So it's good they get to hear that you have this way, and also this way of combining, so as you mentioned, the siloed employees with their individual data and putting it all into one kind of cohesive measure. I think that's a great approach to take with your clients. We are coming up on a commercial break. So I just want to note here that for those joining us late tonight, I'm Eric Sarver, host of Employment Law Today. I'm here with my guest, Rick Maher, who is the CEO, founder, and visionary behind Turning Point HCM, which is a human resource consulting company. So just stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sarver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Podcast Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. My guest tonight, as I mentioned, is Rick Marr, CEO and visionary behind Turning Point HCM. And if you've been listening tonight, I would dare say that, Rick, you've earned that title of visionary. You know, I really see you, you know, looking at problems and again, saying, what can we do in terms of solutions? You know, earlier tonight, you mentioned something. When we first started out, I think you said something to the effect that an entrepreneur sees solutions where one sees only problems. And I think that applies but in what you and I do with our clients. So you gave us a great overview and you gave us like the 50,000 square foot view of the issues. And you also gave us some specifics, which are great. I thought it might be good to perhaps talk about, say, more specifics in terms of what would a COVID-19 return to work plan look like, say, from your company, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, this is a problem that we discovered, you know, about 5 or 6 months ago that, you know, one of our clients asked and we all looked at each other and said, I don't know. Right. So that was a problem. Right. So as the visionary, my job was to say, OK, what's the potential solution and how do we institutionalize this problem and bring it to all of our other clients, right? And all those other things. So, you know, I think, you know, as you look at a COVID return to work business plan, it should be absolutely customized for each business. So there, you know, think of all the different, there's more than 30 different resources ranging from, you know, FMLA to sample notices for your employees. So the COVID-19 business plan has to be personalized for your company. So it's helping you remain compliant while making sure the employees and the clients stay safe, right? So that's kind of the overall theme. And just to kind of hit some of the high level topics of what should be in the plan, the first, and we kind of touched on this earlier, is the communication to the employees, right? So there should be multiple touches and opportunities to discuss the how, why, what, where, when of this plan. Some of them will be informal in the sense of an email. Some will be informal in the sense of just a letter from the leadership, let's call it a State of the Union. And some will be things that we'll be asked to sign off upon so that we're all working together. So I used an example with a client this morning, just quickly on this. I'm walking through the hallway and I'm on my phone, so I don't really see you. And we just walk by each other, right? Now, all of a sudden, another time, I'm kind of just walking through the hallway and I see someone else and I'm like conscious. I'm like, oh, let me social distance. And I do one of these, right? Now, could that person be offended by that and say, you didn't do it when Eric was walking by, but now you're doing it when I am? So there's lots of different things that are going to be there. I think the second high level topic that should be in any good COVID plan is health and safety topic, right? So, you know, what's the toolkit? What are our workplace safety policies and an acknowledgement for many of the employees? You know, if there's a COVID-19, what's going to be our response? Where's the flow chart that says, here's how we're going to respond should we have an isolated outbreak? Should we have an exposure? What are those things, right? So I think that the health and safety aspect is really important. A third topic that should be in any plan is a travel policy, right? So, you know, really earlier on, I think today or in this past couple of weeks, we're really hearing about, you know, travel opening up and some of the restrictions being lifted, but also, travel passports and those sorts of things are kind of on the horizon. So we have to expect that those, as they become part of our world, they will become part of our business world. So I got to send one of our team down to, Oklahoma to meet our biggest client, right? What are we going to do and how are we going to do this, right? How are we going to make it happen? Additionally, if people are traveling, are we going to mandate them to quarantine when they come back and all those sorts of things? Then, a next topic, and I'm touching on each of these briefly, there's a lot of detail underneath of them, is the return to work. So a remote work guide, resuming business toolkit, CDC guidance for businesses and workplaces, right? We're going to be following that stuff and tracking it and all that sort of stuff. So all of those different things, work from home, now work from home, a work from home policy, telecommuting agreement, right? So we want to have, we should have already, we advise our clients to have this telecommuting agreement. Here's what's expected of you and it's going to be signed off, right? Then some of the rules and regulations that are coming back. So I mentioned earlier the Family First Coronavirus Act, Response Act, the personal leave absence granted, personal leave, leaves of absence that are granted, an FFCRA request form, Emergency Family Medical Leave Act, even though some of these things have expired, we expect some companies are still using them voluntarily and, all those sorts of things. Are we an essential business? Will we remain an essential business? Those sorts of things. So I think at a high level, a proper plan that touches on at least those high level topics, obviously with lots of detail behind them, should be created by every business, right? Or for every business. So not everyone's going to sit down and do these things, but there are people like us and you out there who do these things and can help. So I think that the overall goal for businesses is to kind of think about all the contingencies as we come back to work, whether it's training or the handbook or your systems, or it's just how are we going to respond if we have a problem? How are we going to respond if, Johnny and Sally travel to Maryland for a wedding every weekend and they're coming back, potentially infected? How are we going to deal with those sorts of things? So from a business perspective, the proactive planning on how they go back to the office and more importantly, dealing with, all the issues we talked about earlier in the show, but then the go forward. How are we going to respond? How are we going to protect? How are we going to make sure that, when our clients walk in the office, they're safe? When our clients walk in the office, that they're not damaging our people, keeping our employees safe, and all the way around. So a quality, well thought out, well written COVID response plan that everyone can look at and count on when the things get a little bit crazy, or if they get crazy, is an important component of the return to work procedure.
Absolutely. Wow. As an employment law attorney, I was
smiling inside because, again, these issues, the way you broke it down here, health and safety, right, return to work, communications, travel, and, of course, the family, the FFCRA, the Family First Coronavirus Response Act, they're the main issues that I find employers get into the most trouble over. If they're not having clear-cut policies that are consistent, that are clearly communicated, and that are in place, then they tend to create situations, problems, and conflicts that employees have. And that's when you see the lawsuit filed because the employee says, hey, there was no safety protocol. It was an unsafe work environment. And the employer says, get out of here. It was perfectly safe. And the employee says it was not. And then they fire that person. There's a retaliation suit. You talk about teaching about return to work etiquette. If you have clear-cut policies, I like to think of policies as they serve to both, to make the workplace go smoothly, But then if something does go wrong, you can point to those policies and say, look, we have these procedures in place. So I think it's all, that's an excellent overview of a plan, Rick. And we've got about a couple minutes left to the break here, 3 minutes, in fact. What I want to do is I want to give you, but turn the floor to you today for 2 minutes, just to like tell us more about how can clients find you? How can we hire you? What contact, any upcoming events, et cetera?
Yeah. So, and thank you. So, you know, this week seems to have been the media week for me. In particular, so yesterday I was in Newsday, which is the Long Island newspaper, an article about these very topics, and returning to work and that sort of thing. So this seems to be becoming part of what we do every day, right? It's not something you would have anticipated a year ago, or we would have anticipated, but that's what we're responding to. So, and additionally, next Wednesday, the 8th, I will be on a panel discussion that really focuses around vaccinations and can they be mandated and should an employer mandate them, and really part of that COVID return to work policy. That event is sponsored by the Long Island Association of Small Business, and that's liasb.com. So I appreciate you allowing me to show my feathers a little bit at the end of this in this session. But if someone wants to talk to me, and Eric, you know I love to chat about this stuff. I love to think about it, because as a visionary, I need input, right? Because input creates solutions. So if anyone would like to chat with us, we really live by our website, which is turningpointhcm.com. Turningpointhcm is in Harry Charles Mary.com. That's our website. Certainly, you know, my email is Rick, R-I-C-K, at turningpointhcm.com. And my direct dial is 631-769-4131. Again, that's 631-769-4131. I really appreciate the format. I really appreciate the opportunity to have this discussion. And I appreciate the conversation that you and I have had leading up to this, because they were important. And I think that there's something that's going to carry what we do into the next, 12 to 18 months until things change again. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome, Rick. Thank you. It was a pleasure having you on the show tonight. Lots of great information, lots of great tools. Really appreciate your being here. It was very valuable. I hope people do reach out to you. Folks, I'm Eric Sauber, employment law, business law attorney, and host of the show. We have more shows coming up on Talk Radio NYC. And if you like what you heard, come back next week, Tuesday nights. Every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm here with different guests discussing the issues that you have as business owners. So tune in for the next show. And thank you again for joining us, Rick. A pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening, The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
all you listeners looking to boost your business, why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.